part two.
All right, part two. Speak.
Where do we begin?
Well, we will begin with an explanation of what's going on and why this is going to sound even more disjointed than usual. We made our part one, which all of you have all listened to at this point, I would hope.
Yeah.
And then we made our part two.
And the reason why we had to make part two is because our part one kind of crashed on us.
Our part one crashed on us when one of the microphones decided to say, I can't listen to you anymore. So it gave up. So then we did a part two. And Jim was magnificent. He came up with such truth and beauty and a universal constant things. I mean, the mountains crumbled and the skies cracked open and a unicorn shot out my ass. It was the most amazing thing, but he had the mic on mute the whole time, and
that's why the content was so good, was because the mic was on mute.
Yes, because he started fumbling with the thing on his ear, and those sausages on the ends of his hands hit the mute button, and we never got it turned off. So you could hear me clear as a bell saying inane, stupid things, and him about 8 miles distant saying the most awesome things ever, but you couldn't understand them.
Yes. Yeah, the curse of being ham-fisted strikes again.
So, when last we spoke, once again...
What the hell were we talking about?
Last we spoke, when we ended part one, I asked you about the Batman photo. Which
correct.
You indicated in part two, the aborted one, that you had seen.
Yes. Okay. Right. So,
let me throw a new little wrinkle.
Oh, please. We need all the wrinkles we can get.
The Zack Snyder has released the title. It's Batman v Superman: Dawn of Justice. Or possibly Superman v. Batman. I don't know which.
Right, sure.
But not versus, V, like it's a court case. And Dawn of Justice, indicating that this is not really as much of a sequel to Man of Steel as it is laying the groundwork for the Justice
League. And one of the things we talked about in our aborted part two, which we never were able to get to, was... how in the DC universe there are many renderings of characters, and one of the things we talked about was the fact that Batman is a character that can be done and retold, and his story can be retold many times, and it doesn't get sour and it doesn't go stale because of the different approaches and the different takes on the character and the story.
Well, let's be clear here. You tell Spider-Man several different times, and you still basically got the same basic story.
Yeah.
Even with Superman, you still kind of got the basic story. With Batman, you have everything from Christopher Nolan's ultra-realism to Tim Burton's kind of a gothic fairy tale.
Yeah.
To Adam West's batshit 60s craziness.
Which is cool.
It's all good.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's wildly different tones,
right.
Don't you think?
Yes.
You don't see that in the other ones.
And obviously you've left out the latest and greatest, which was Christopher Nolan's realism.
No, I didn't say
you
that.
Got
I didn't
that.
Say
okay.
it. Yeah.
Yeah, I must have missed that one. So you've got
is
that.
Is my mic on mute?
You've got that realism. Oh, no, I was, for some reason, I was thinking Schumacher.
That one doesn't exist. Those don't.
Yeah, right. So yeah. Now we've got the brand new Batman movie approaching. It's coming out, and so what I don't know is what's the angle on that story that they're going to bring, and I'm sure it is going to be different than the Christopher Nolan approach, which is the hyper-realism that he brought to the story.
Well, like I said, I think the costume looked torn out of the pages of the comic, especially Frank Miller's Dark Knight Returns. And
which is one of my favorite comics.
Oh, it's
of the Batman series.
Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah.
By the way, did you know they adapted that into an animated movie?
No.
It's actually two animated movies. They broke it up into two. It's one of those direct-to-videos that Bruce Timm, the guy who did the animated series, he made it into a full-length movie. And it's not bad. It's pretty good.
Yeah.
It follows it pretty closely.
I just like the grittiness of the Frank Miller artwork.
It is very, very gritty.
Yeah.
And that is somewhat missing in the animation, just because animation just tends to be a little cleaner.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or at least the way they do it.
Right.
But getting back to your point, that's what Ben Affleck was like. He looked like he kind of got pulled out there.
Right.
That the internet went crazy with the sad Batman.
As sad Batman. Yeah. The sad Batman meme.
Yeah, so there's some great photoshops out there. Look for it. They're pretty funny. So I wanted to get into the original Man of Steel. I think you and I have talked about it, and I think this is a good time to dovetail into it and say what we liked and what we didn't like about Man of Steel. What we liked, it ended. What we didn't like.
It started and we sat through 2+ hours worth of the movie. Okay, so to be fair, the production quality was good. I know that's faint praise.
True.
It was slick. The special effects were good.
Product placement was wonderful.
Oh, sure, absolutely. But yeah, I mean, if we start diving into the plot, the characters, the symbolism, just about every aspect of the movie that we look for to be engaging, it fails. It falls flat.
Well, why does it fall flat? It falls flat because this does not seem like Superman to me. He seems like, and it isn't just because he's missing the red trunks, although I have a problem with that too. But
that scene can be forgiven.
That can be forgiven if it felt like Superman, and I felt like this was, you know, an alien invasion movie or something, but it didn't feel like a Superman
movie. Right.
And the thing that I point to, the example that I point to, which I've told you, but for our audience, in Superman 2, he loses his powers and he gets beat up by the trucker.
Yes.
In the diner.
Right.
So,
which was that a scene directly out of the Christopher Reeves Superman.
Yeah, Superman 2. That's right. He gets beat up by the trucker. So then he gets his powers back. He comes back and he gives the trucker a little thrashing. He spins him around on the bar stool. It's a little comical. He slides him down and he falls into the pinball machine, which probably breaks it, bumps his noggin a little bit. It's got the, you know, the goofy, it's almost to the point that he has like Tweety Birds around his head.
Yeah.
You know, and he pays for the damage ever so politely, and he's taught the guy a lesson, and it's a cute moment, and nobody really got hurt, and all the damage is paid for, and that's fine.
It's almost comic relief.
It is comic relief,
yeah.
And it's just one more comeuppance, but it wasn't, you know, I mean, he could have killed the guy. He could have popped his head right off his shoulders. He didn't do that. He just gives him a little bit of a, you know, If I recall, he doesn't really ever punch the guy. He lets the guy hurt his own hand punching him, and then just pushes him along the counter sitting in, you know, the Salisbury steak.
Yeah.
So then you get to a very similar scene in Man of Steel. And the guy didn't even punch anybody. The bully. The trucker. He didn't even punch anybody. He spanked a waitress on the ass, and he threw a cup of ice or something at Clark, or food or something.
Yeah.
And
I thought it was an empty can.
It was an empty beer can. That's
right,
what it was.
Yeah.
There was no big deal.
His sin, yeah, his sin was being a jerk.
He was a bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
And yes, you're not supposed to like him. He comes outside and his truck is impaled.
His semi-trailer is
impaled and destroyed. And I'm thinking, oh my God, you just destroyed the man's livelihood for a spank on the ass. This is not what Superman would do.
The punishment did not seem to fit the crime.
It was. Yeah. Wow. I kept blinking at that, and I kind of let it go. Well, as a comic relief moment, if that was the only thing, I would have been okay.
But on top of it was the apparent anger that Superman had towards this other individual.
Yeah.
I don't know that I've ever seen... The Christopher Reeves Superman angry at another human. He's obviously, he gets angry Luther. At so his arch villains and definitely Zod and the others he gets really mad at, but I mean for the most part he views humans as I need to protect them. I know I am stronger than they are. I know I am better than they are physically. So my whole approach is I need to protect the weak. And this version of this alien from Krypton, I won't even call him Superman, because he does not, like you said, he does not behave like Superman.
Now, I will admit, I'm okay with him getting angry and stuff. That didn't bother me so much because it's like, he's early. Well, he hasn't become Superman yet.
So easy. I guess what bothered me was it was so easy for him to be angered.
Yeah, that he lashed out and like which that I was think, too much.
Yes, but I think that quick to anger fits in with the bigger problem that you and I both have with this character, this version of the character, which is that he's in a state of personal torment or personal. Flux. He's in search of who am I? What's my purpose?
Which, you know, we've never seen that in a superhero movie before. That's so rare. See, you know, the brooding, you know, who am I? What is my place?
Right,
in that?
Right.
It's unique. I'll give him that.
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Except for every other
superhero movie. The problem is we've never seen that in a Superman.
True.
And that's where it feels like it's disjointed. It's like we're not looking at Superman because...
Well, there were other moments. There's like when he's fighting Zod at the end and they're destroying pretty much all of Metropolis and laying waste and millions of people are dying.
Trillions of dollars worth of damage.
Oh, it was just so awful. And... I remember one point, Zod throws a tanker truck at him, and Superman just very easily leaps up, flies up, lets it go underneath him, and comes back down, and the thing explodes behind him, causing untold damage, destroying the parking garage. It starts collapsing, I think. God knows how many people... I'm like... Christopher Reeve would have stopped the truck. He would have blown out. He would have stopped it from exploding. That's what he would have done.
Yeah.
Like with the bus, right?
Mm-hmm.
And he just like lets it go and it causes untold destruction. Well, that wasn't helpful at all.
No.
And you know the whole end of the movie is just a big giant mass of destruction and oh. So then I wanted to contrast that with Captain America.
Yeah.
Now, here is a subtle difference that I really appreciated. Captain America knows what's right and wrong.
Yes.
In the movie, he knew what was right and what was wrong.
And
he didn't know who to trust. He didn't know his place in the world.
Yeah.
But he knew what was right and wrong. He wasn't questioning himself. He was questioning the world around and trying to find, you know, who to fight, where he need, and once he figured it out, he knew what to do and he did it. And that, to me, was a huge difference. It's a subtle difference.
And it's worth noting that both characters have a very similar sense of morality.
Yeah.
There's right and there's wrong. I am stronger, I am faster, I am better than everyone else on this planet.
Well, typically they do.
Right.
They didn't. The Man of Steel sure didn't.
Well, the base character, before the movie, these two movies that were contrasting. Yes.
The way the character should be. Gotcha.
What we think the character's base morality and base approach to things is. And then we have one movie that lives up to that and one that does not.
And Winter Soldier was clearly a huge success.
Yeah.
Clearly, I enjoyed the hell out of it.
Oh, I did too.
I didn't like the plan. I wrote about this in the blog. If you want to click on a tag, movie review break, you can see my review on Captain America. But in essence, the Hydra, they'd been infiltrating for the last 60, 70 years, right? And they said specifically, I think it was the scientist that was in the 70s computer.
Right, yeah.
That was, which was awesome. But he's saying, you know, we have to get humanity to surrender its freedom willingly. And, I think we're seeing that sometimes now.
Yes.
Certainly the press has surrendered itself willingly to one party. And that kind of made sense to me. But they're going to send up the three helicarriers, and in one day, with pinpoint accuracy, they're going to murder 2 million people all at once. It felt like Hydra was like, we want to take over the world. I'm just doing this for 7 years. I can't wait. Bam, 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 bam. Oh, shit, I blew my wad again. Oh, fuck. I need to... premature murder.
Sure, sure. No, yeah, I get it. And it seems like a somewhat of a plot hole, but considering that it's a Hollywood movie, and you got to have that.
You got to have some resolution. Yeah.
Well, and yes, and you have to have the high stakes, and so that becomes the high stakes. A more realistic... If we were on the side of Hydra and rooting for Hydra to win, we would say, well, let's just quietly kill one or two at a time and not do it all at once.
Yeah.
But
which, for 70 years, they probably had been.
Yeah.
But then they got the helicarriers. It's like, I'm going to play with my toys.
Yeah. Murder all at once.
Oh, gee, they may fight back on that one. You think they wouldn't notice, you know, you murdered 2 million people? It's like, well, this was for your own good. It was?
Yeah, I think there might have been a little bit of backlash to that.
There might have been. So that was, and when she stuck she released all the files, right?
Yes.
You gotta figure it's petabytes.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right?
Right.
I mean, it's hundreds of petabytes. Oh my goodness, excuse us. We are just running by a semi that is completely collapsed. We've told you we had our car, things outside the car. Shiny things grab our attention,
yes,
and we go off. They send out the petabytes.
Right, so
the black... First of all, she's like, I've released it. I'm like, how? Did she put it on Dropbox? Yeah, what'd she do?
She being Black Widow. She's got access to all of this information that has all the dirty little secrets about all of these people, including herself.
Right.
And anyway, so if she releases that, then the mass, the internet... those with internet connections will have instant access to all this information about
somehow.
Yes, about people that have done bad things in their past.
I'm thinking, you know, we're still discovering things in Obamacare. You know,
it's the rate at which information
it's trending. It's trending. How would you put it on Twitter? Would you put 18 petabytes of information in 140k chunks? 140 character chunks?
Right.
What does that mean?
within seconds, she's claiming that it's trending.
Yeah.
Yeah. And to your point, yeah.
Don't show this to tech guys. We do that.
We tear the stuff up. Yeah. So, yeah, there's not a lot of instant digestion of information out on the internet, unless it has something to do with the Kardashians.
Well, case in point, this show is not exactly trending yet.
So, well, yeah.
Guys, it's out here. What's the problem? So, that's okay. It didn't take away from my enjoyment of the movie.
No.
It's just one of those things where you got to roll your eyes and go, oh, Jesus. You know, it's like what they said about the Godzilla movie where she goes, yeah, it's hooked up to an internet. Okay.
Shut up.
Awful.
Well, it was the late 90s.
It was. We didn't know anything about anything yet.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you got now Batman. He's Superman. I'm wondering, are they going to destroy Metropolis and Gotham now? Instead of a small town and a big town, they're just going to destroy two big towns and then punch a hole in the planet, or, you know, I mean, it's...
So let me ask you, being the DC aficionado in the car.
All right.
In the comic book series, what was the big dust-up between Batman and Superman when in the comic book, we had Superman versus Batman?
Well, we never really had that. I mean, there was probably all kinds of stories where they figure out some way to have them go against each other.
Yeah.
But there is, I don't know if it's still going or if it's a continuing series since they rebooted the entire goddamn universe again. I have no idea if this is still an ongoing series, but there was for a while a Batman Superman comic book.
Yeah.
And the hook was the contrasting ideologies.
Yes. Vigilantism and vengeance versus...
It's really optimism versus pessimism.
Yes.
That's what it is. I mean, one guy's bright and colorful and American way and truth, justice smile right on his face, and does not wear a mask.
Yes.
And was raised by, his parents who lived. And another one is dark and dressed as a, you know...
Yeah, one guy grew up in Kansas and one guy grew up on the East Coast.
Yeah. And so, you know, that money versus... You know, all of these come into play with that.
Yeah.
So it wasn't so much that they fought each other. It was more along the lines of how did they interact with each other and how did they go, you know, how did they attack fighting crime?
Yeah. Yeah.
With their different methodologies. And they're not as far apart as people might think. I think Batman uses fear to try to fight crime. I think that's his big deal. And Superman just simply gets the job done and is an inspiration.
Yeah.
That's really, if you had to sum up Superman, be inspirational. That's what he is.
Right.
Batman is all about fear. So.
They both have a healthy respect for right and wrong.
They do. And they both have a healthy respect for life.
Yes.
Batman won't use a gun. Superman doesn't need to use a gun. Yeah, you know, it's really just their conflicting ideologies, but it gets old after a while because they really aren't. You know, if you had Superman versus like the Punisher, a guy who will murder you, you might that stark contrast. Of course, that's so far apart that they would probably, there'd be a quick resolution to something like that.
Yeah.
Superman just simply, but Batman doesn't cross that line, so it makes it a little more difficult to keep him reined in because he is working kind of within the law. It can be interesting, but it also wore thin a little bit.
Yeah.
What I'm thinking is that they're going to have some of these moments that may be new to a lot of people, but if you've been reading Batman and Superman for quite a while, or you know, even when they guessed in each other's comic books, you've been watching, you know, Justice League show and all that. There's nothing here that they're going to come up with that's probably going to surprise me. My hope for this movie is that Batman basically looks at Superman and is like, dude, you have way too much power. You destroyed most of Metropolis. Look at the way you could have saved more people. I know it was your first time out and everything, and Zod was, but, you know, and start schooling him on how many mistakes he made. And if that happens, then Man of Steel becomes a much better movie to me, because it's like, we know that he's making all this destruction. Yeah. We know that's not Superman. We are trying to get him on the road to be Superman.
Right.
That you want and love. And these are the mistakes he made. If that's the case, I can live with that. But right now, as is, Man of Steel was...
I think the only way that... okay, let me back up. I'm going to go into this movie with a bar set low because of Man of Steel.
Yeah.
Right? And I think the only way that they can probably just really screw it up is if they totally flip the characters and Batman is not the brooding pessimist that we know. I know we started this conversation off with all the different views and takes that people have had about Batman over the years, but at his core, he's a troubled, he's a flawed hero, right? And his flaw is that he's troubled, and he always has that anger about how his parents died, which drives him to be who he is. And if they really just flip things on their heads and they have now they have Superman being this brooding, why am I here, what's my purpose kind of character, and Batman being the joyful, hey, you know, this is I'm the good guy, and
I don't see that happening.
I don't either, but that's the only way that I think they could make this worse. You know, my view of the universe that they're creating with Man of Steel.
How awesome would it be though if Superman said something along the lines of, well, how'd you do that? And he just answers, because I'm Batman.
Oh, yeah.
I will add a star to the review if that happens.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
I will be joyful for that. You know, I always get a kick out of when these stills come out, the picture of him in the costume and everything.
Yeah.
They're saying, well, did he get the costume right? Is the costume correct? Is the bat, you know, is this the way it's supposed to look? I'm like, you know, those details, they used to bother me. They don't bother me anymore.
Right.
I'm really just to the point, you know, I don't, if it's close enough, it's a different take, but I really enjoyed myself and I feel like it was a good movie, then I'm fine. I mean, you know, Captain America was in street clothes most of the time.
Yeah. Yeah.
He had his shield, but he was in street clothes most of the time. Wearing jeans and a hoodie. And,
right.
Okay. Then I'm, it was such a good movie. And
it was very humanizing.
Yeah. It was a good story. It was well done. And I just enjoyed it. And I didn't have really a problem with, you know, he was in those shield uniform, which didn't really look like Captain America. They put on his old 1940s uniform, and it's good enough. The point is that I wasn't angry or trying to figure out what was going on or wondering why things were happening, or, you know, I was carried along with it, and that's all you can ask for a movie, right?
Right. Yeah.
So. Mm-hmm. I will take us to a different tack. Do you know that this year is the 30th anniversary the summer of 1984, as far as movies go? We think about it, there were some good ones. A lot of good competition that year. I'm thinking specifically, though, of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom. Ain't It Cool News has been doing a kind of a retrospective on it. Guys are writing their opinions about it, and I find it kind of interesting because It seems that Temple of Doom is the most polarizing of the Indiana Jones sequels. Now, you may counter with, well, what about Crystal Skull? I said, well, that's not polarizing. Everybody fucking hates it.
Yeah, this is bad.
It's no, there's no controversy.
Yeah.
We're all agreed it sucked.
Yeah.
So, that's not what...
Hey, you know...
But I really like Temple of Doom. I've grown to like it more over the years. So I'm curious of what your take is.
Okay, so my take on it was that coming off the first Indiana Jones movie, the Raiders of the Lost Ark,
which is the gold standard.
Which is the gold standard, yes, for a lot of action movies. Not to even get into the fact that he's superficial to the actual plot, but I digress. If Indiana Jones had not even been involved, they would have never found the Ark. Even if they had found the Ark, then and they took it to the island and opened it up, they would have died anyways. But regardless of all that,
in fact, he only hastened the death of the Nazis by about 3 days.
Yeah. Right.
That's a good point. I hadn't thought about that, but yeah.
Well, I can't take credit for that. I saw that on an episode of The Big Bang Theory.
Oh, anyways, okay.
Yeah,
all right.
Yeah. I didn't come up with that theory, but once you think about it, you go, oh yeah, I guess you're right.
It's totally inconsequential.
Yeah. So,
but awesomely so.
I still love the movie. It's a great movie. Yeah. So coming off of that movie, the bar's pretty high. So my impression as I watched it the first time was, this is not as good as the first, but it's not bad. And after all, it gave us the great line, "Okie dokie, Mr. Jones," or Dr. Jones.
I like a no yeah. time for love, Dr. Jones.
Yeah, Short Round was great. So, so I think that my first viewing was, hey, this isn't bad. This is pretty good. And then, I don't say that I've ever felt like it was a bad movie. I just feel like over time, it was okay.
Here's what I've come to.
I see. So here's what I liked about the movie.
Okay.
I liked the characters. Well, yeah, the female was
annoying as
yes,
fuck.
Yes, she was. And I liked the setting, and I liked the action, and even the silly mining cart roller coaster.
And oh, that was great!
Jumping from over gaps.
Yeah.
And landing on. With
pinpoint accuracy.
Yeah, pinpoint accuracy. I still thought it was fun. I didn't have any problem with that.
I didn't like the life raft.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so stupid.
Yeah,
but I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah. It was fun. I some of the supernaturalism part of it, I was like, eh, it was a little lukewarm on. But I thought the movie worked. I was with it.
Here's the thing that I've been reading, and I think it's a good theory, and I'm kind of with it on this one. Do you know that the Temple of Doom is a prequel?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, absolutely.
So when you meet Indiana Jones in Temple of Doom, he's kind of like Belloc, you know? He's talking about things like fortune and glory, right?
Yeah.
So,
right.
So you got those pieces in there. This is an earlier version of Indiana Jones, a bit more cynical, a bit more...
He's a playboy.
He's not talking about putting things in a museum. That's what he's talking about in the last one.
Yes.
This belongs in a museum. This is what we got into archaeology for.
Yes.
Is to find these things. He's teaching. We never see him teaching in Temple of Doom.
Right.
He makes a mention of it, but... You know, the guy starts going through a litany of things that he's been doing up to this point. That weren't you accused of being a grave robber? Weren't you accused of this, that, and the other thing? And clearly, he has not been all on the up and up.
Right. Yeah.
Up until this point, and then he gets taken over by the Kali magic blood. Yes. What is it with magic blood? All the time with the... We keep coming back to that.
The magic blood.
The magic blood. So he drinks the Kali and the blood or whatever the hell it is.
Yeah.
And he becomes bad. And it was short round. Yeah, it was the fire, but it was also just a pure, naked declaration of love. And said, hey, wake up, Dr. Jones. I love you. You know, Indy, wake up.
Yep.
And at that point, he changes, right?
Uh-huh.
And he becomes... he does not leave with his rocks. He leaves with the kids.
Right.
I mean, he takes the rocks. Of course he takes the rocks. But he...
He returns them to their place.
Yes. He takes them with the intent of returning them to the village.
Yes.
And he gives it back to the village like, it just would have ended up in a museum gathering dust. Something has changed in the character. That takes us to the Raiders character that we see, and then finally the Last Crusade character that we see. And if you look at it with those kinds of fresh eyes, plus the fact that it does go to some dark places.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this kid's ripping a live heart out of a guy's chest.
Yeah.
Right. The movie itself is responsible for the PG-13 rating.
Right.
You realize that.
It came out
and people were like, it was rated PG, and parents were like, what the? Like, you know, taking their little kids, it's, hey, Indiana Jones and the Whip.
It's ripping hearts out.
Oh, my God. I mean, kids must have been peeing in the seats. I can't imagine how much urine the ushers walking to the theater had to clean up. The PG-13 came because of that. And Lucas is mentioned, he's like, well, I was getting divorced, I was in a really bad mood. I was like, I'll say you were. Jesus Christ.
He's ripping hearts out.
Well, you know, his heart was ripped out, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So he just went with it. And I'm like, oh, Lucas,
no
wow.
Sequels. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. So what was the excuse with the prequels? I'm sorry. That's a whole other conversation.
God. The prequels do not exist in this dojo.
Yeah.
I now 30 years later, and I haven't watched it in a while. I do have the Blu-ray, so I may go back and give it a shot. But I was thinking it is the most polarizing of the sequels, and a lot of people didn't like it when it came out because it wasn't what they thought it would be. But as time has gone on, I can't say that I like it more. For instance, I loved all the Star Wars movies, not the prequels, the first three.
Yeah.
But Empire was always, growing up, my least favorite because it was the darker of all of them. As I have gotten older, I like it even more than Star Wars.
You know, I have to agree with you. Yeah.
And I think most people kind of feel that it is the best, even though it made the least amount of money.
But it holds everything together so well.
Yeah, it fleshes out the Star Wars universe. Now, I don't want to take anything away from the first one. I mean, it laid the groundwork.
Yes.
It was a fantastic movie. And it ignited my love of cinema. And whatever we want to say about George Lucas, he ignited a love of cinema in the Gen X crowd.
Yes.
I don't think any other generation before or after.
He's responsible in the late 70s. He's responsible for the explosion of technology being represented in science fiction and in media.
Yeah.
I mean, he truly is.
Now, the flip side of that, you could also say that he's responsible for the blockbuster product. Not movie, not film, not artwork, but the product.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Which I don't know if that's fair, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
I think it's true. I don't think it's his fault, but the studio execs and everything have been chasing the next Star Wars.
Right, right.
I think that they've been doing it ever since.
So talking about movies as products, and we have Godzilla coming out this weekend.
No, it already came out. Days of Future.
Yeah, that's right. Yep, X-Men's coming out this
week. That's right.
Yeah, so it just came out. Obviously, this is a product that's been developed in the past, and someone's taking the latest swing at retelling the story
of Godzilla.
Of Godzilla.
Right.
Yes. So what other stories do you think, in that same vein, are we going to see happen again? And the reason why I ask that question is that it occurs to me that we've got some others that might be, it might be time.
Tell me when you say in the same vein.
Well,
explain what you mean.
So a story that's been told and retold and retold, and it's a, in the retelling.
Like a franchise.
Yeah.
That's laid dormant for a while.
Yes. But in the retelling, they try to make it a blockbuster. For instance, how long will it be before we see the next King Kong?
Well, we just had one.
Yeah, about
9 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
And it wasn't very good.
It was pretty lame. But before that, we had the 1982, 81, 83, 76. Was that about
76?
I was thinking it was the early 80s.
Oh, it was the Jeff Bridges one.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think it was 76.
Oh, I thought it was later than that. We'll have to look that up. But
to Google.
But that being said, so and before that we had some in the 50s or 60s. And even before that, maybe it was the 40s.
If Godzilla ends up being a good success, then yes, we could see another retelling of some of these other classic monster movies. I don't know. I'm waiting for Love Boat the movie. I don't know why that franchise is laid dormant for so long. I mean, obviously it's a moneymaker.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe Fantasy Island or Dukes of Hazzard. Well, they did a Dukes of Hazzard movie, didn't they?
They did.
They do everything. I mean, they'll mine anything they can that has some sort of name recognition. So I don't. I mean, James Bond has been going for half as long as movies have been in existence.
Sure.
So, what's the big money pot to plunder? I don't know. You know what I don't see?
It was 1976, by the way. For some reason, I was thinking it was later than that.
I am the king.
Oh, well, you are the man.
Movie years and me, I do pretty well on.
By the way, did you know? I had forgot this, or either that, or I just didn't even pay attention at the time.
Mm-hmm.
But in 1986, there was a King Kong Lives, which was supposed to be a sequel.
Yes, I do remember that vaguely.
Yeah.
I never saw it, or I don't know anything about it, but I do recall that. I know they did a Godzilla 1985, and that thing tanks pretty bad, and nobody wants to think about it, and so that may have contributed to King Kong's Lives. I don't know, but you derailed me badly.
Sorry. Yeah. Well, so I guess my question was, what's going to be the
next big money?
The next big yeah.
Yeah. No. Here's what I was saying. All of these franchises, all these things, they seem to have started long ago. All the superhero movies, I mean, every superhero you see now that gets put on the screen is at least 40, 50 years old.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, even the Guardians of the Galaxy, even though that team was made in 2005, 2003, somewhere around in there when they made the new, maybe later, maybe it was 8.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. But those characters have been around since the 70s.
Right.
And I'm trying to think of, well, what's the new franchise, the new crowd-pleasing franchise that's going to, what is the next thing that's going to get into the public consciousness the way things like Superman, Batman,
yeah,
Star Trek, yeah, Tron, to a lesser extent, what else? All the superheroes, X-Men, Spider-Man. I don't see anything coming out. Yeah. It's just, I mean, remember it was like sweeping the country. There were things that were nothing sweeps the country anymore. And I think it's because all our attentions are so subdivided now with the internet and with 8 million channels. I think it does,
but not at the level of the blockbuster. Because you do see it sweep. You do see attention on things like Sopranos, Game of Thrones, Dexter, these kinds of things, but not at the level of blockbuster.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I don't see them coming out with a Heisenberg movie for Breaking Bad.
Right. No,
And don't get me wrong, those are great. But I'm talking about those are great shows.
But they're not the blockbuster.
Even more so, they're not pop culture icons.
Yeah. Now,
everybody can take a look at Dorothy in the dress, and I don't think we're in Kansas anymore. I mean, it's just these are things that stick into the American consciousness, right?
Uh huh.
But I don't see anything in the last 20 years about Jurassic Park, maybe.
Maybe.
Terminator, even that was 84.
Right.
We just keep mining these new franchises, but I don't see new franchises coming down the pike. I don't see it. Well, yeah. we remade Battlestar Galactica. That was in 1978.
Yeah. We did a Lord of the Rings trilogy.
He wrote those books.
Yeah. I mean, those are ancient. 70
years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
Narnia. I mean, we're doing things that have been around that are known quantities.
Yes.
And I do think there's something to the fact that there wasn't as much to sift through back then, and these things could take a hold of many, many people.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, we still have a lot of people go to the movies, and you would think, and every movie is nothing but a sequel or a, whatever.
Right.
So, or a remake or an established character.
I mean, revisioning.
They went back and did Carter. Nobody gave a shit. Yeah. You know?
I mean, you talk about the Wizard of Oz, one of the most, it is extremely iconic as it relates to movies.
Oh, it's a piece of American history at this point.
Yeah, and of course we had to try to redo it.
Yeah, well, Wizard of Oz, I mean, that's practically public domain now, I think. And so they're going to try to do different things with it. And there was a movie out before the classic. There was a Wizard of Oz movie. There's been cartoons. There's been There's one in the theaters right now. Did you know that?
No.
It may be the biggest flop of the year. It cost $70 million to make this CGI thing. And it has Leah Remini, who is the girl on Glee.
Okay.
And I think Martin Short plays the bad guy. He's like this...
And it's a Wizard of Oz.
It's a Wizard of Oz. It's like a Return to Oz.
Yeah. Okay.
There's voices in there you would know, but it cost $70 million to make. I don't think it's broken $10 million at the box office.
I hadn't even heard of it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you want to talk about? Wow. You want to talk about losing your investment? I mean, they're not even overseas, and with video, they're still not going to make it. You know, they're going to lose $40-50 million on this thing, because you gotta figure there was some, well, apparently not much in marketing costs.
Yeah,
but I get back to my point. I mean, what in the last 20 years would you say has become a huge franchise that sticks in the public consciousness? 93 was Jurassic Park. That's the last one I can remember.
Yeah.
I, you know, everything else has been some sort of remake or adaptation
Well, and maybe it's too early, but maybe the Lego movie. We kind of talked about it earlier in our failed attempt to try to do part two, but I think it's too early to say what kind of.
But the Lego movie. Again, does that count? I mean, it's based off of toys.
Yeah, I don't.
And half of everything in it is based off, like, you got Batman in it, for Christ's sake.
That's true.
I think, don't get me wrong, I think the Lego movie is a fantastic movie.
I do too.
But, you know, is it a franchise? Is there anything in it? I mean, it's just like it's taking all the other franchises and putting them all together, and then they got this one guy named Emmett, but...
Yeah.
I don't feel like it was a new... I don't feel like it's a Star Trek.
Yeah, right, yeah. Yep, yep.
You know, Star Trek comes out in 67, it's a big deal, and it spawns this huge empire. Star Wars comes out in 77 and spawns this huge thing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Spider-Man, it comes out as a comic book in the 60s and spawns a huge thing, Avengers and all the other stuff. I don't see that property coming out and just grabbing people... And maybe because have we seen it all? Are we creatively bankrupt?
What? You and I have talked about this, though, that the movie making approach that the studios have right now is not the same as it was back in the 70s and early 80s, where content and story was the centerpiece of what they were building, and now that seems to be somewhat a side dish that they slap on.
Well, you know, up until the 70s, the studios were actually owned by studio moguls, right?
Yeah.
And by the 70s, a lot of those guys were dying out. They were selling it off. They were too old.
Yep.
They didn't hand it down to their kids. And they started selling it off to pretty big corporations.
Yes.
And the corporations started doing it as a product. And Sony owns Columbia Pictures.
Yep.
And I think Coca-Cola owned one at one point and sold it off. 20th Century Fox is part of
it. And their product, as we get back to the term product, their product is really about... How can we entertain people and cast our nets and get the most people to come see this form of entertainment?
And it's a business, and I understand that. And you do get a diamond in the rough. The Lego Movie,
right?
Diamond in the rough. From what I understand, this X-Men First Days of Future Past is 94. I mean, it's getting rapturous reviews.
Yeah.
So it's not to say that art isn't being made.
No, and that's not what I'm saying. But.
But again, it's everything we've seen before.
We don't start with the story being. Does not seem to be a lot of effort in saying, hey, let's start with something brand new. It's hey, let's go out and the end goal is to, again, cast our nets. How can we do that most efficiently? Make it entertaining and get a lot of people. To come spend money.
Sure.
And so if I have one big criticism, it's not that the studios are doing that. They're doing, you know, they have a goal and they're going after it. I wish the movie going public would demand something.
Well, yeah, I mean,
a little bit better. I mean, this gets back to our whole...
We go see it.
Yeah, this gets back to our whole low information voter type mentality. Show me something shiny.
Yeah. Well, we've you and I know people who, you know.
Yeah.
Every movie, if the special effects are good enough, it's awesome.
Yeah. Right.
It doesn't matter how shitty the movie really is.
Right. Yeah. We work with some guys that say, I don't care about the backstory of Superman. That was a great movie. And we started this conversation off with how crappy, what a big pile of dung we think Man of Steel is. And there's other people that will go to that and say, this is the greatest thing I've seen, a story about Superman.
Well, it was the Spider-Man 2.
Yeah.
I honestly, you heard my rant on it.
Yep.
It's out there on the blog. Listen to it if you like. But what I've come to the conclusion is that what I watched was a 2.5-hour trailer for the new Sinister Six and the franchise.
Right.
That's what I watched. Because there was no coherence to any of it. And every scene in there made a great... They were pretty good trailers. You know, just enough moments to make you feel like there could be something interesting here. And then when you got and watched the damn thing, it was just basically they took the trailer and made it a really, really long trailer that made no sense whatsoever. Right. It might as well, but just as random and disjointed as a trailer usually is.
Gets back to the point I was feebly making, which is, yeah, they didn't start with a story in mind. It was, hey, let's, what kind of things can we throw into a trailer that will attract people? And then they tried to just sort of build something cohesive around it, and they obviously failed.
They failed miserably. Oh man, I've never seen anything so. It was so nonsensical in my life, and I can't believe I spent money on this. And yeah, my 9-year-old thought it was good. I'm sure. Don't watch it when you get old. I revisited shit when I got older, and it was not pretty. It really destroys you. That's what destroys your childhood, is revisiting the crap you loved when you were a child.
Right.
Just keep those memories, okay? Yeah,
well, what's the famous quote? You can never go home.
You can never go home again.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think we got it.
And on that note, we're almost home.
We are almost home. I think we got it good this time.
Yep.
So this is a double size episode. We are going to rest our larynxes for a few days. I will try to get up this. It's probably Sunday now that you're listening to it, so I'm sure some of this stuff is out of date. I don't care. But we will probably put one up next week as well. So thank you for listening.
Enjoy your Memorial Day weekend.
Oh, yeah.